You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
All right, Knicks with a tough overtime loss to the Lakers. Everything was lined up. The Celtics had lost before the Knicks took the floor in Staples Center. And the Knicks had their chances, but they will have to clinch a playoff spot over the next three games before they did it last night. This gentleman actually had a chance to sit back and enjoy the game as a spectator watching on TV because the game was on TNT. He's my very good friend, Mike Breen. Hi, Mike. How are you?
It's harder to watch the games than to broadcast the games.
Now, why is that?
Because you're so focused on trying to do your job, and there's so many things you have to worry about that you can't let emotions get into it. You know, obviously, you know, you get fired up on the ebb and flow of the game. But if you're a fan of the team, I mean, when you're watching your favorite teams and you're watching on TV, don't you get crazed? Are you either yelling at a mistake or a call that you think went against your team? So it's harder for me, least for me.
But that's fun, though. Isn't that being a fan?
Oh, it's the best. It really is fun.
Now, were you sitting there saying, I'm so much better than Brian Anderson. I would have called this game so much better. Is that what you're doing, too?
Why would you even say something like that?
Because that's the kind of person he is. You should know that better than anybody.
He's one of the most talented play-by-play men in the business and versatile. I actually was just in Milwaukee for an NBA game, and he invited me to sit in his booth.
He sent me a picture.
Right, the Brewers were Brewers and Dodgers, and I had never done that. No one had ever asked me to sit in the booth with them during a baseball game, and it was enlightening. It was so much fun to watch him do his. I was blown away how good he was, him and his partner Bill Schroeder.
See, but that's an untruth that you just said. You stood in the booth with me while I did a Yankee game. I mean, you talked to Flip for three innings, but you were there.
I'm just kidding. By the way, I'm upset because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees were announced.
Right.
It's a crime. It's an absolute crime. Jethro Tull is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It is odd, isn't it?
Odd? No, it's not odd. It's criminal. There's something wrong there. It's very disturbing.
The whole thing is a joke. It really is. Just the whole process. Like, give me a break. And you don't even have to be that big of a Jethro Tull fan if you don't understand the significance. Then I don't know what to tell you.
But you know how many people are left out? I mean, it's
a joke.
They can't do this number every year. There have to be more. They have to make up for so many acts who belong there who are not there.
The Go-Go's got in.
I mean, they deserve it.
They're nice and talented, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Jethro Tull is in and the Go-Go's are not? No, I'm sorry.
No, the other way.
I'm amazed the Partridge Family's not in.
Ah, that hurts you, I know.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm still great. Listen, I think Iron Maiden should be there, so.
It's all right.
So I get silence. I actually defended Jethro Tull. All I know is Aqualung, and I get silence with Maiden. Dang, that's some kind of friend, Mike. You know, just throw it out. You think I meant what I said? No. But we're friends, so I threw it out there. And I get nothing? I know nothing. I'm not going to get anything from those two, but from you?
I'm not an Iron Maiden fan.
But you can't fake it. You're a pro.
Why should he fake it?
I just faked it. You think I don't have any? I don't care in the world that Jethro Tull's not in the Hall of Fame. But I completely sold out for my friend.
You know, it's funny. The way your comment that you said to support me was so generic, it was almost like, I don't know if he really believes that.
No, right. No. But that's what I'm willing to do for you.
That's right.
And I got eggs from you. Nice.
Yeah.
Michael,
I love it.
Continue with the interview. I'm going to take a break.
All right, why don't you tap out? So just let me double back to what we talked. So you're sitting there watching a game on ESPN, and it's Dave Pasch or Ryan Rucco or Mark Jones, and you're not, like, critiquing them in your head? Come on. Every baseball game I watch, I'm critiquing the guy in my head.
No, I mean, you clearly, for us, you clearly watch to see how the play-by-play guy handles storylines, how he handles excited calls, how he's handled the stretches of game. You know, no question. I learn a lot from watching other guys and pick up stuff from watching other guys. Sure, I mean, we all make mistakes, and I'm sure guys are home watching me, guys and gals watching me saying, okay, he messed up there. But I like to do it from a standpoint of, you know, you can pick up things and how everybody handles things differently.
All right, so of the best guys that are doing it, best guys and gals, who do you think stinks? I mean, it's just overrated.
Oh, like, please stop. This is where you get yourself in trouble.
Really? When have I gotten into trouble? When have I gotten into trouble? I am what I am, Mike. Anyway, I do want to.
I am what I am.
I'm just not as nice a person as people think. I want to congratulate you in advance on your induction into the Basketball Hall of Fame. I sent you a personal text, and I just want to say I'm so happy and proud. I was there when you started. And it must be such a thrill that you're going to do that this weekend.
I actually spoke about the text you sent me. I was on a radio show, Rich Eisen's show, mm-hmm. and spoke about it and how meaningful that was to me. And I thank you very much. And you know what you mean to me. And I appreciate your kind words.
Well, what does it mean to you? I mean, really, what does this honor mean to you? It must just blow you away.
It's overwhelming. It was when it was first announced, and then when everything hit and the pandemic came and it kept getting postponed and postponed. You know, it's a wonderful thing, but you kind of, not that you forget about it, but you wait until it comes about again. And now that it's this week, and I've been hearing from, you know, a lot of people again, including your note, it's just it becomes very emotional because you remember a lot of things that went on, and mostly you remember all the people that helped you and the reason why you're in this position because of the support, you know, whether it's love from your family, support from your friends, mentorship, critique, people who gave you opportunities. There's just so many people to thank, so many people responsible, and it becomes overwhelming. And when you hear from all these people that mean so much to you, It's really a beautiful thing. It's truly wonderful to be able to not only hear from people, but to be able to express back to them what they meant to you and how much they helped you.
You know what blew me away, Mike? I read a story that was in the Daily News about your friendship with Jim O'Connell. And you said that in the story that you get 3 minutes to make a speech. How do you encapsulate your whole career and life in 3 minutes? How is that fair?
Well, you can't. And fortunately, it's 3 to 5 minutes is what they tell you. And, mm-hmm. you know, people, they're not going to have a stopwatch and, you know, strike up the band as soon as you hit the 5 minute mark. But they just, because it's a, you know, it's a long event and there are a lot of people who speak and it's an event they're putting on television. So, you know, the worst thing in the world is have people go on there and ramble. Cause if you didn't set a time limit, people would go 20, 25 minutes. And as you know, there's nothing that can ruin an award ceremony when people just drone on. So it's more of a, not specific, but it is difficult to try and fit in a short amount of time all the people that you need to thank.
I'll tell you this, Mike, and I don't think I've ever told you this. All of us went to Andrew Gunling's wedding. Each member of his family gave a 25-minute speech right in the middle of the wedding. I mean, talk about grinding it to a halt. He won't admit it, but Don was there, 25 minutes apiece for like five people. Unbelievable. It took you from the entree right through dessert. It was amazing. Am I
and
right, Andrew?
I just found this out. Andrew's cousin is actually going to be the person inducting Mike Breen. So this should be interesting.
Well, you might get a thank you and then that too.
Whether it's weddings, whether it's award ceremonies, we've all been there where you turn to the person next to you and you can't believe. You know, when I go to church on Sunday, sometimes the priest, the homily just goes on too long. Mm-hmm. And so we've all sat through these long things. I don't want to be that person that people are saying, man, will he ever shut up?
So what I just took away from this, Michael, is that Mike doesn't necessarily critique broadcasters when he's watching them. But in church, he'll go, you know what, really could have saved 5 minutes. This is not the best call. Father, ease up.
But what I find interesting about, like, broadcasters, Mike, like, when a player gets inducted, his career's over. I mean, you could do this for another 20 years after this.
Well, I hope they'd have me. but if I can just – can I tell you one story about I heard about, you know, speaking about people that went on too long?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys remember Tom Konchalski?
Yeah.
Who was another dear friend who recently passed. Well, Tom was a very religious man, and he used to go to church all the time. And he went one morning – it was like a 6 a.m. church, 6 a.m. mass – and he's in church, and there's only about 10 people, maybe 12 total in the entire church. And it included an elderly couple. And the elderly couple got there earlier, and they were what they thought they were whispering to each other before Mass began. But they weren't whispering because both were a little hard of hearing, so you could hear all their conversations. So the Mass went on, and the priest came out, and he gave one of those long, drawn-out sermons. And as he finishes and he turns to walk to the altar, the older gentleman whispers to his wife loud enough where everybody in the church can hear, "Worst sermon I ever heard." And then the priest is walking back and he stops, like, doesn't turn around, just stops for a minute and then just keeps on going. That's the story. I think of when I think about that.
Well, anyway, I hope you enjoy the weekend, you and your family. I'm so happy for you, and I wish I could be there, but, you know, obviously work calls, but it's just going to be awesome. It's just going to be an awesome, awesome day, and you deserve it. So good for you. Now let's talk Knicks. I never thought, Mike, that they had a chance to make any series in the playoffs difficult except the one against Atlanta. But I look at the way this team plays and their defensive commitment, and just that they just don't quit. And I think that they'll make teams sweat. I don't think they could beat the Nets, the Bucks, or the Sixers. But I don't think it's going to be a walkover by any stretch of the imagination. What's your feeling on that?
I don't think anybody wants to play them. The favorites don't want to play them. Even though those teams you mentioned, the top three in the East, all feel that they can beat them, I don't think anybody wants to go with a series because it would be a grueling series that'll take a lot out of you because of exactly what you just said. They're just relentless defensively. They're so well coached and drilled on everything they do defensively, and with that, the players committed to defending, that it's just – it's a grind. Every game is a grind. And then you add into the fact the biggest surprise in terms of their play on the court is their three-point shooting. They get hot. It could be a nightmare for some of these favorite teams. And, you know, they're playing with house money when they get there. They don't think that. They think they belong in the fourth spot. They think they can beat anybody. But there'll be no real pressure like there'll be on Philadelphia and Brooklyn and Milwaukee. And I agree with that 100%. It's, you know, I watched that game last night defensively. You could see some of the Lakers are like, man, can you guys just back off for a minute? Because they were just, you know, in their face throughout the whole game. So that's going to be interesting to see. But for a lot of them, it's going to be their first playoffs. And as we know in the playoffs, it's a whole different story. So now they have to take that next step. But they've got a coach who's been there. They've got a Derrick Rose who's certainly been playing in big games. And it's going to be really fun to see how they handle the playoff pressure.
That's all I was going to ask you. Like, how big will Rose be? At least he's a guy that's experienced this.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, last year was a little different for a lot of people playing in the playoffs for the first time. You saw some young players really excel because there was no crowd. Now, it's not going to be capacity crowds, but some of them will have a pretty decent amount of fans in the building, and that makes all the difference in the world come playoff time. You know, Julius Randle's never played in the playoff, but he's some of the biggest games during the regular season. Boys, he come through for them, so I'm dying to see how he performs. But having a Rose there, that's not afraid, that is, in fact, almost his game gets lifted when the stakes get higher, is critical for that team. I thought last night they just ran out of gas. It was the end of a long road trip, and they just looked like they were gassed at the end of the game. But it'll be a little different come playoff time, and nobody's going to want to really play them.
Have you, like me, I keep waiting for Randle to hit one of these game winners. I feel like he's had his crack at 4 or 5 this year. Are you, like, sitting there waiting to make that call for him to have kind of that signature win moment?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Andrew. He's had up here. Listen to me. Did I just say Andrew?
Yes, you did.
You know what? I want Andrew to get the credit he deserves.
Because now that's a drop, and I love it.
Well, Andrew is been great for so many years.
Great point.
So, Peter, excuse me. But, Peter, I think that's true. It's like, you know, he feels so much responsibility to win the game, and he's had some good looks, and sometimes it hasn't been as good looks. But what I love about him, he's rarely forced it this year. He's making the right play, and that's, you know, Thibodeau had a great line the other day, and it was when I call a play for you, it's not necessarily for you to take the shot; it's for you to make the right decision, and that's the beauty of this team in that. In most cases, down the end of games, you know, sometimes it's Alec Burks, sometimes it's Bullock, sometimes it's Barrett, sometimes it's Quickley, sometimes it's Randle. It's not just put it in his hand all the time, go win us the game. A lot of players have hit big shots down the stretch of close games for them, and it's because, you know, they're not concerned with, all right, I'm going to be the hero. They're concerned with, we're going to win this game.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know what concerned me, though, Mike, watching that game? I don't know, because Randle hasn't really done it yet this year, although he's hit big shots, but not the game winner. I don't know if they have that go. That's the thing that's missing on that team. They don't have that go-to guy that has to create the shot. R.J. Barrett's shot at the end of overtime, that was terrible. There was no play. I know they were out of timeouts. Who is that guy in a big playoff game that's going to take the shot? Does it still have to be Randle?
Yeah, well, what Peter says, he's waiting for that moment. You have to kind of grow into it. It's every step. He's never had to be that guy. This year he is for that team. That's his role. And, you know, he'll get to the point where not only is he comfortable taking it, he probably is, but confident, and he'll start hitting them. But I do think that's where Rose's impact on the team has been instrumental. They've been better in close games because of him. Because now the defense can't just load up on Randle like they did in the past. Now if Rose is out there as well, now you can't just go double-team Julius Randle all the time. And Rose is capable of doing that. Again, I thought at the end of the game, he was, even though he did hit some big shots, he did look tired. So the combination of the two. Now, do they have, you know, somebody like a Kyrie Irving or a Kevin Durant or a Joel Embiid? No. But they've got two guys right now that are playing at a really high level that I think to have the two of them combined will make it difficult for opponents to just, you know, load up on one.
How much of a challenge, Mike, has it been to get to know these players and just kind of get a feel when really the only chance to talk to them is through Zoom?
No, it's the worst part of the season because you can't get to know them. I mean, because there's hardly any one-on-ones or even, you know, the broadcast teams getting to talk because it's all on Zoom thing and it's all a bunch of reporters and, you know, like you get a question on the Zoom call and then they go on to the next question. You can't really ask follow-ups and you can't get into a discussion. And more importantly, you can't get into, you know, whether it's in the locker room or on the court before the game where you can have a 5-minute conversation off the record and kind of get a feel for them. It's a real challenge. It's hard, and I feel for the writers too. I mean, you know, that's their bread and butter, and it's been taken away in a lot of ways. So I can't wait till we get back to that because there's so many good, interesting stories just on the Knick team alone this year that I wish we had more time to delve into and talk to them about.
All right, in closing, what's the best team you've seen this year?
Well, in terms of consistency, start to finish, Utah has been amazing. And I think, Phoenix is obviously right there with them. But the team, when when playing on all cylinders and when will be whole that I think is the most dangerous is Brooklyn, just because you know, James Harden, what he's the missing piece there. The other two are great players, obviously, and they can go far with just the two of them. But you put Harden on there, and the way he was playing before he got hurt makes me think that Brooklyn is a team that if they are whole and together, they could be really dangerous.
And finally, do you have the speech written already?
I do.
Will you read it from a card, or will you memorize it?
No, they started something new where they put it on a teleprompter.
Oh, nice.
Because they make you send in the speech early, again, because so many people were going way over that they wanted it ahead of time. They load it on the prompter, and if they see it's 15 minutes, they're like, uh-uh. No, you got to make it a little shorter than that.
They didn't go out of Michael Jordan, though, because his speech was long.
No, this is for the Gowdy Awards. For the players, it's a whole different thing. If,
okay.
If a player wanted to go 35 minutes or a coach, they're going to let them do it. It's just for the Gowdy Award people.
Michael, do you imagine that Mike will give you a shout-out in the speech in some way?
I don't know if I fit into a three-minute program there, but I know that I'll be in his heart. I don't have to be in a speech.
Wow.
Well said.
Yeah, exactly right, because Mike knows you're right.
But I will tell you this, though. I will study the speech, and if anybody is mentioned in the business and I'm not, then I'll be hurt. I'm just saying that.
Got it. Okay.
If he talks about Roseanne and the kids, that's fine. They belong, you know, his
what
mom,
if what
his
if
brothers.
He mentions what if he mentions Mark and Van Gundy?
I can accept that. But if it's
Clyde?
If it's like if he drops in a BA or something like that, he's gotta mention Clyde. But if he mentions, I don't know, a Doug Mittler, a guy that we went to school with and I don't get mentioned, I would be upset.
I got to go because I got to go make a couple of changes.
All right. Say hi to Doug.
All right. Thank you, Mike, and enjoy the weekend. You should.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Congrats. You got it. That's the great Mike Breen. That's the great Mike Breen. I can say that.
Sure.
I'm allowed.
Sure.
I love the way Don bounced back. He pulled himself out of the interview but said, you know what? I got to be a pro. I'm going to go right back in it.
You know what makes Mike Breen unbelievable?
What's that?
That he accidentally calls me Andrew, just had a slip of the tongue, that signature win moment.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Andrew. He said...
And then caught himself.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't see that. Like, no one catches themselves on a little slip like that.
I'll tell you what, Peter. Don used to go to bed at night praying that Parcells would catch himself when he called Don Mike over and over and over again.
Never did.
He prayed that Chris Mullen would stop calling
Fix
him
that.
Mike. He never did. But
after
Mike did it to you.
Yeah, I feel special about that. Because you would think that if at some point, you know, after calling him Dom 11 or 12 times.
With conviction. Mullen, like, I finally got it right.
Right. Dom.
Or when the great Stuart Scott called me Dan LaBracca.
Oh, boy.
Man, he said before, just didn't have the same effect.
My man, Dan LaBracca.
And the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get.
Yep.
Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Did you see, Don, that Harvey was so moved by the ovation that he had to fight back tears on the mound?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
City Field a special place. He handled himself very well today. For a guy that got beat up. Very well.
Well, we'll hear from him in just a moment. The only thing, you know, there were no tears falling, but there was raining hits against him, I'll tell you that. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.